Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the coming one. The description of the entry to Jerusalem, familiar, and I guess I thought more that way when I was a kid than I do now, but I wish I could have been there, right? One of those electric moments, one of those just marvelous crowd energizing moments there. Familiar enough to all of us. Actually, where I'd like to go this morning, though, is one little tidbit that's kind of dropped sort of silently toward the end of that whole description, and that's what's going to drive our thoughts this morning. And that is this, that in all of the hubbub of the entry, Matthew notes that the whole city was asking, who is this? I mean, wow. A lot of noise, a lot of excitement going on there. And I suppose maybe Jerusalem, big city, maybe some folks were asking that question, not genuinely looking for information. Who is this, by the way? I can imagine in Jerusalem there would be some that, you know, wouldn't know necessarily who Jesus was. I just bet you, though, that for a lot of others, and more often, in fact, when this question occurs elsewhere in Scripture, not looking so much for information, not looking kind of more for interpretation or for evaluation. Who is this? Who is this that the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this we got in a boat here with us? Who is this who claims to forgive sins? Who is this who says to that poor fellow, take up your bed and be on your way? Who is this who talks about being lifted up and in the process drawing all people to himself? Who is this who, when you look at him, looks pretty unassuming? And yet, when you hear him and when you see what happens around him, pretty astounding. Who is this? I guess it's kind of that primal sort of a question that really, really belongs in the heart of every person and every people. And I suppose that includes us seminary folk as well. Jesus comes to Jerusalem, gets the kind of welcome that I just bet you the folks in Columbia, Missouri were preparing for their football team until, too bad. Crowds bustling, right? Energy exuding, shouting hosannas, spreading clothes along the way, leaves from the trees on the way. And with all of that energy and excitement, when this one kind of turns the corner and comes down the road, what you have is not the number one football team, and it's not the Heisman Trophy winner, and it's not the conquering warrior on a war steed, and it's not the government official with his entourage. Here comes one gentle, one translation puts it, humble is what we heard here, and riding a mere donkey. Something wrong with this picture. Who is this? Yeah, that's a real question. What's all of the buzz about? Who is this anyway? Maybe there's a little wider pertinence to Lord's question from the cross. That an awful lot of folks out there didn't know what they were doing. But the energy was there. That is for sure. It's, I suppose, however, it betrays the paradox, that's a good Lutheran word, right? Betrays the dilemma
that kind of characterizes the whole walk of the Lord through life. Jesus kind of slips in. He slips into the world, unnoticed for the most part. Not that it wasn't unannounced, but unnoticed in a backwater stable, attended by shepherds, pretty menial and smelly folk, and by the folks from far off, sort of an indicator, though, of the reason for his coming at all. And Jesus, in his youth, sort of slips into his father's house and out again, programmatic of what's to come. And Jesus slips into Jerusalem with all of the hubbub and sort of stumbles, an outsider would say, sort of stumbles into the hands of folks who have other plans for him, and slips into death. A lot of slipping and sliding going on here. And yet, it's part of the gentle, unobtrusive one. Part of the one that you don't necessarily take a second look at. Part of the one who comes to make a claim on this world in a different kind of way than most parades are arranged around. Because this is also the one who slipped from the grasp of death. And the one who slips into that room that the disciples had closed themselves in, right? The one who slips into bread and wine and into water and into words of a book. The one who slips into the lives of transformed people, all the while sort of deepening this question, this haunting question: who is this? Who is this we've got here among us? Jesus, in fact, slips into our lives as well, and through our lives, into and among peoples out there that folks of the New Testament had never heard of, and lives and brings life to whole major peoples out there. This is the one who brings life in the face of and life out of death. Who is this? I'm going to stick my neck out and say, I don't know that we'll ever have the full answer to that question. The full answer. I don't know that we will even know how properly to gauge the question itself. That we're dealing with one much, much beyond the limitations of spirit and mind and intellect that are ours. Indeed, the more we live with him and the more we walk with him, the deeper the mystery of his grace and his love and his ability to take a broken life and to heal it and to transform it. That's why I suppose he came in a human form, because otherwise the mystery would be so baffling, there's no way to touch it. Came into human form to touch us and to enliven us and to warm us at the same time, not at the expense of the mystery that still surrounds even that human. Even the disciples didn't figure it out, right? Not completely. Who is this? The best we can do, I suppose, is what those folks in Jerusalem did. Their answer to it, actually, was given before the question. Their answer to it is this: he's the coming one. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The coming one. Not bad. Not bad. And it certainly is what drives our Advent season, right? The church, in good doxological instinct, sets aside a whole month, 1/12 of the year, so we get ourselves ready for this, the approach of this mystery that doesn't baffle, the mystery that invites us, the mystery that pulls us, the mystery that captivates us, the mystery that incorporates us into Him. The Advent One, the coming One, the One who came, gentle, humble, the One who comes and comes and comes and comes, and the One who has a coming still to come that will bring it all to a close, the coming One, the One who comes to you and comes through you to other folk out there who are still pondering the question, who is this? Who are you? Who are you who are His? The coming One. Like those folks in Jerusalem, we welcome Him on those terms. The One who came. Blessed is He. The psalmist had that right already back in the Old Testament. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. And last page of the scripture, that's all turned into a prayer. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. 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 May the peace of the coming One, and may the peace of His coming, keep you and your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus for a long, long time.